It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hey, everybody. This is The One. I am Greg Gutfeld. Again, I'm very excited with my next guest. Joining me today is British politician and member-elect of the European Parliament for the Brexit Party, Martin Daubney. He's a former journalist and commentator. He was the longest-serving editor of the legendary Lad magazine Loaded and was responsible for the title's relaunch in 2005. See, I knew of him back then because that's when I had, around the time I had moved to London to helm Maxim UK before I drove that into the ground. Martin, how are you?
Yeah, man, great. I've got fond memories of your time in the UK, and we finally crossed swords.
I know. I think you and I might have been in a pub once together at the same time, but we didn't chat.
Yeah, I think I was being typically British about it. It's like, okay, so this guy's American. He's more talented than me. He's funnier than me. His magazine's better than me. So I'm going to sit in the corner and brood about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think at the end of the day, you still won. I think I have the esteemed, I don't know, credit of every single magazine I work for does not exist anymore.
Yeah, that's because you were so unique in your take, people just didn't get you. But you were right. You were right all along, and you've come back to Fox, and you've proven your force.
I got to congratulate you on this. You are now a member-elect of the European Parliament. Now, just assume that I'm a typical kind of American. I don't understand. Like, the European Parliament, okay, I know this is dumb, is not the British Parliament. So what is your – what do you do? And are you like – do you have to move to Belgium?
If I did, I wouldn't have signed up for it. Yeah. So, in essence, the European Parliament is made up of 28 EU member states, the UK being one of them. There are 750 MEPs from across Europe, and the UK has 73 of them. The UK is made up of a bunch of regions. The West Midlands is my region. We came from nowhere in 5 weeks. The Brexit Party, of course, was the creation of Nigel Farage. You'll be more than familiar with him.
Yep.
Good friends with your man, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
We came from nowhere, and within 45 days, we won 29 seats in the European Union, which is the joint highest with Angela Merkel's party from Germany. So we've really kind of thrown the cat amongst the pigeons. We came from nowhere to being the joint biggest force. And let me tell you this, the entire political establishment is absolutely confused. They are bewildered. They're terrified. They are throwing everything at us, just like they did with your man Trump on your side of the pond. It's very, very similar kind of movement. None of us really have a great deal of political experience. Now, you might think that's a bad thing, except in the 6 weeks of campaigning across the UK, we just heard time and time again that people are sick of career politicians who go from the best schools in the UK to the best universities in the UK to working directly in politics without ever having held down a real job, without having done a real deal, probably without actually ever meeting an ordinary person in their entire lives, unless they're delivering food to them or something. So, what we've done is completely rewritten the copybook of British politics in a very short space of time, and it's been absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I was watching it, you know, because I could tell, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm following you on Twitter and I'm looking at things that are happening and I'm going, oh, this is definitely happening because the momentum was there. And the one thing I noticed, it's the same thing when Brexit passed and then when Trump won. When Brexit passed, I don't know when that was, I said to the so-called experts here where I work, doesn't that mean Trump has a chance? Because no one saw this coming. And they said, no, it's two different things. But it's not. It's the same thing. It is a phenomenon, you know?
Now, they're absolutely, you know, two heads of the same beast. I mean, what happened in the UK is that the political class, and especially, by the way, the media class, were entirely disconnected from ordinary people. Mm-hmm. So we have a thing called the M25, which is the road that runs around London. It kind of contains London. And there's life within the M25, which is the London bubble.
Right.
And then there's the rest of the real country. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge disconnect. The politicians in our country voted about 75% to remain in the European Union. The journalists typically mirrored that voting pattern, whereas the general population voted by 52% to leave. So none of them saw it coming. They were completely confused. But those of us who spent real time outside of this bubble talking to real people, it was coming like a really slow train down, mm-hmm. down the line, Greg. I'm telling you, it's really, really obvious. And right about the same time, I called it correctly on TV, on Sky News, and they were like, "And really, are you serious?" They're rolling their eyes and calling me dumb. And then when Trump followed, it was exactly the same sort of, you know, continuity. Mm-hmm. There was a disconnect of the intelligentsia, the liberals, the metropolitan elites. They didn't see it coming, but anybody who spent time in the real world, it was really, really obvious that it was going to happen. So I think there are clear parallels between the two movements, for sure.
Yeah, it's funny. During the whole Trump thing, I was one of the people that was wrong. I had I had my brother-in-law who was gung-ho Trump, and I had friends of mine that were gung-ho Trump. But I was inside the bubble. I just assumed no shot at this. I agreed with the people around me, and then that night was the greatest learning experience for me in being in the media and how wrong you can be. Yeah. Because people don't tell you how they feel until – because they know that you're – there's no reason for somebody to tell me what they're going to do until they do it, you know?
Yeah, precisely. I'm saying it was exactly the same in the UK. Mm-hmm. You know, there were you know, some of the so-called experts. I mean, the Bank of England governor, mm-hmm. you know, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, you know, the highest minds in our country didn't see it coming. The best journalists, mm-hmm. The most qualified journalists from the best universities – didn't see it coming. And this is precisely because they live in an echo chamber where everybody agrees with them. And, you know, they have their own bias reconfirmed with every single conversation, be it at the school gates, be it in the newspaper they read, the radio they listen to, the TV they consume. You know, it is an entirely sort of separate channel.
Yeah.
But what we don't have in the UK is an equivalent of Fox News. Mm-hmm. So there's a huge conversation going at the moment about the media bias,
right.
and particularly with our state broadcast of the BBC, which of course is paid for as a form of taxation.
Yes.
Everybody in the UK has to pay BBC license fee upon pain of going to jail. Mm-hmm. And the journalistic makeup of the BBC is entirely unrepresentative of the Brexit debate. So many, many people didn't see it coming. So I'm going to excuse you on this one, Greg, but you are not alone in not seeing these great things coming.
You know, what you and I have in common, okay, so when I was at Maxim, I was the only, I'd say conservative, libertarian. I was the only person like that on staff from what I remember. And I was, I was ribbed for it, and especially because Bush was president, I got so much heat. Now you come. You're in the same kind of environment. You're in British media, British journalism. When your beliefs became public or known, did you lose friends or were you treated differently?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I would never have called myself a conservative. I mean, my dad's a coal miner.
Yeah,
I come from a very kind of left wing, working class background. Mm-hmm. But then what happened is that Brexit came along, and it really has pressed the reset button on people being left or right, because mm-hmm. Brexit has redefined everything, I guess, in the same way that Donald Trump has. And so when I kind of came out, if you like, it wasn't a great coming out experience, because Nigel Farage is a very divisive character, as your man is over there. Mm-hmm. And if you suddenly throw your hat to the ring, then I was getting called a racist, I was getting called a fascist, a Nazi mm-hmm. sympathizer, and all this kind of crazy kind of identity politics nonsense, which is the currency of mm-hmm. the media, very unforgiving and almost, well, definitely bigoted mindset. And I just got off Facebook. I just got out of that world because, you know, I'm not in this to be judged. No, I never set out to be a politician. It kind of came my way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to stand for what you believe in. And I guess, you know, a great many of us have found ourselves almost getting blown into the port of, you know, being a conservative. Because the kind of liberal politics that we felt that we've, you know, rightly stood by when we were younger, we outgrew them because they abandoned us.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they moved with that. The goalposts shifted. And so you're kind of like a man. You're a man without a team. And you all of a sudden you start finding, I think, a lot of people in the United States, especially, like they become part of this, like the podcast world where all the ideologies fall away. You know, and what was it? Do you think that being an editor for Loaded helps you? Because I think Loaded was was a magazine for the people, which is why it was so popular. So that must have influenced or informed how you deal with people now.
Absolutely. And I think in the UK, we call it having the common touch. Mm-hmm. So it's like, can you actually identify with a guy who kind of works 15 hours driving trucks or,
right,
you know, 12 hours digging coal or sweeping the roads or, you know, all these kind of jobs that people try to kind of wish away as not really existing,
mm-hmm,
you know. And if you understand ordinary people, the magazine was for ostensibly, you know, the working class men, mm-hmm, who in turn became demonized and ostracized and, mm-hmm, put aside as, if you like, being the party of all ills. I mean, it's the same on those side, on stateside, in terms of like campus culture and jock culture.
Mm-hmm.
The UK became lad culture. And then we had the ingress of identity politics,
right,
and toxic masculinity and all this nonsense. And suddenly, you know, people found themselves being attacked just for existing.
Yeah.
And the same was true if you're a conservative. And a great many of us kind of just stepped back and thought, well, what's going on here? What's all this about? And we realized over time that we were actually the silent majority.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of found ourselves via podcasts outside of the mainstream media, outside of the newspapers and the radio stations and the TV channels that we consumed for many years, and we created our own channels, our own networks.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a long way ahead of the curve in America with having Fox. And you're very, very lucky. You know, we need something desperately to mirror that this side of the pond, because at the moment we're kind of forging our own networks and going our own way, and we need that media voice, because without it we just have bias and echo chamber. But having said that, despite all of that, despite all of the weight of the media machine, the entire political machine, the so-called expert machine being thrown against the British populace, they still voted, right, to leave the European Union. And I'm so proud of the British people
for
standing by their resolve.
So where does that – that leads me to the obvious question. What is next for Brexit? Because it's, yeah, like – it's for us over here – it's, I know, you know, Theresa May is going. I also want to ask you who you think is going to come in, if it's going to be Johnson. But first, where do you see what's next for Brexit, the movement?
OK, so we were promised that we would leave the, mm-hmm, European Union on March the 29th. Theresa May promises 108 times that,
yes,
we would leave. And we didn't leave.
Right.
So we then extended a thing called Article 50. Without getting into the minutiae, we are still in. The latest date we've been set to leave, maybe you know, in terms quite prophetic, is on Halloween. On October the 31st, we're meant to be leaving. And the latest odds, literally a few hours ago over here, Boris Johnson, mm-hmm, looked set to become the next Conservative leader, the Conservative government, or the present incumbent government.
Yeah.
He's getting in on a ticket of guaranteeing Brexit by October the 31st. Most people think he can't deliver that. So it's going to, mm-hmm, go one of two ways. Either there'll be a snap general election. So here we go. Look, I said October the 31st, we're getting out. We can't do it. Everyone's blocking me, so it's time for a general election. Now, we hope that happens at the Brexit Party. We are, like today, I was interviewing prospective MPs.
Mm-hmm.
We are gearing up on a war footing. We are absolutely ready for this, because Brexit absolutely broke British politics.
Mm-hmm.
It broke trust in politicians, perhaps for a generation.
Yeah.
Absolutely shattered our belief in democracy. Mm-hmm. And people want something new. They want a change. And we really hope that we're going to be that. You know, politicians that are representative of the public and genuinely serve the public rather than, you know, acting as if they are the masters of the public. You know, we've forgotten the very nature of public servitude.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's to your point. I mean, it's the reason why it broke democracy is because they're ignoring the actual vote, and they want
yeah,
it sounds like they're just going to do a do over until they get the other score. They need to get what they want, and they're never going to accept,
yeah,
this, which is it's
yeah,
like go ahead.
Yeah, and that's common. You know, that there have been similar votes before,
yeah,
where Denmark voted to leave the European Union. They were forced to vote again. The, mm-hmm, same for the Republic of Ireland. They were forced to vote again. But, you know, the British, I think, have made of different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we've refused to bow. And despite all of the public opinions that come out saying, well, people have changed their mind, they want a second referendum, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are as determined as ever. And this is much more now than Brexit. It is about democracy, and it's about, you know, just telling these politicians that you work for us. You know,
mm-hmm,
you know, you do what you're told.
Yeah.
And it's been a very kind of British uprising. There's been no kind of French style setting fire to cars.
Yeah.
And there's been no riots in the street. We've kind of sat around, moaned about it, had a cup of tea, and we've voted. And we've voted again, and we're going to keep voting again, and we will get this through because the will of the people cannot be overridden.
You know what's great? It's so funny. The milkshakes. Okay, so you have this. You have two. Yeah, the milkshake, they throw it on Farage, and then they threw it on a Trump supporter. But that actually is only – I saw it only as fuel for you guys because that's not how Brits – that's not how you do things. You know, it's like –
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I know. I mean, I've been on Tucker Carlson's show before talking about the sort of anti-fars and anti-fascists and what's kind of come out of all that sort of ridiculous pantomime movement is simply more support for the decent, you know, democratic way of doing things. So Nigel Farage, leader of Brexit Party, was going around a northern town called Newcastle, and this guy threw a milkshake over him. And of course, you know, the liberal left of Twitter, they loved it. It's like, wow, it's just direct action.
Yeah.
But, you know, the next day, it was the front page of every newspaper, and I just tweeted out, that right there is another 100,000 votes for the Brexit Party.
Yep.
Because people don't like this kind of obstruculous, confrontational, you know, anarchic style of doing things. It backfires, and it's a vote winner for the reasonable, quiet, democratic side of things. All of those kind of tools of attack, they don't work anymore.
Yeah.
Even the sort of the press over here, they do a thing called Project Fear, and this is a kind of economic based argument of, you know, everybody's food bills will go up, there'll be no more medicine, there'll be no sandwiches, there'll be no beer. And everyone's like, what? No, we can get by, I'm sure. And then it became Project Smear. We'll smear you know, publicly, the politicians will take them down. That didn't work either. And, you know, the milkshaking, I think, is the latest pathetic, you know, way of doing things. And none of it works, you know, and they don't know what to do. They are really confused about it, Greg.
Yeah, it's we've seen this over here. It's the catastrophic thinking. Trump is unstable, insane. He's going to lead us into war. None of that worked. Then it was bigotry, racism, but that didn't work. We have the lowest unemployment among minorities in history and women. So none of this works. So they end up – what they do is they cling to emotional arguments, fear.
Yeah.
And it's funny because all you have to do is throw actual physical evidence at them and it pops their balloon. I want to ask you, what is your life like now as a politician? Did you ever think this was going to be your – world and how has it changed?
I mean, absolutely not. I mean, I never in a billion years thought to be a politician. You know, I'm a working class kid, and I always grew up to think that, you know, politics just kind of happened to us.
Yeah,
you know, we were kind of passive vessels, and it kind of just came our way, and we kind of tugged our forelocks, and we got on with life. And that probably would have been always the way if they'd just done their job.
Yeah.
If they just got on with doing what they were supposed to do, then I don't suppose that the status quo would ever have been changed. And that's the greatest victory in many senses.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they've taken the public for granted for so long, for too long, has forced, in a sense, an entire uprising, a democratic uprising of ordinary people with real lived experience, who stepped into the fold to make a change. And my life has changed completely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had to give up all of my work. One of the things about standing as a politician in the UK is that you're not allowed to be paid unless you're elected, or until you're elected. So I had to give up all my work. I had lovely PR consultancy work, comfortable media work.
Yeah.
Suddenly I was kind of working for free. And I just thought, well, I'm doing this. I spoke to my mum.
Mm-hmm.
She went, you've got to do this because otherwise, who's going to represent ordinary people?
Yeah.
And that's what started to happen. It was, you know, the voice of the ordinary man and woman in the street, the taxpaying, hardworking, democratic, law-abiding person was not represented in our politics. And that called for an entirely new representation. And that's what the Brexit Party is doing.
Well, you know, I have to I think it is such a great story because you're not a career politician. This is actually something that you chose to do because you felt no one else was there. That's it. I mean, that's how great politicians or great leaders are created, because we are saddled with establishment, elite, career politicians. But when somebody says, you know, screw it, no one else is doing this, I'm going to do it, and then it actually happens, is really a great – it's a great story. That's when I was like, I'm going, this is pretty interesting, because, you know, I knew you from back then, and I'm watching this happen, and I'm going, this is definitely happening. I have to say, I was really touched by it. I was like, I was rooting for you over here when it was happening, you know. So next time I'm out there, I was supposed to go to a wedding in the end of June, but then the dude, like, I think he chickened out, and he said that they, like, so the wedding got called off. So, but my wife and I were going to be heading out there, so we have to have a celebratory drink at some point.
Me too, and they'll be on me, Greg. I'd love to buy you that, you know, that one beer that we never shared all those years ago, mate. These ones are on me, my friend.
I will take you up on that. Hey, Martin, congratulations, and good luck with everything.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for your support. It means a lot. It really means a ton. Thank you, my friend.
You got it. Keep in touch. I'll see you.
Cheers, mate.
This is Jimmy Failla, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.